ahead and take our Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 2 for a second. We're going to open up. We're going to continue with our study, the law of the teacher we talked about, and the law of the learner. Tonight we're going to talk about the law of the language. But just to share and to open up with scripture in Proverbs, there's not a lot of scripture in the seven laws of teaching that John Milton Gregory has written, although it's a good book to study on how to teach. And he is a Christian, and he does use Christian references and whatnot, and he does use a few verses, but it's not real deep in the verse aspect of it. But anyway, in Proverbs chapter 2, again, when we're talking about teaching and understanding, we can see in Proverbs how God uses Solomon to pen these words, again, to remind us how important it is to learn and to apply this in our life. And he says in verse 1, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path, when wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul." How important it is to have the understanding of the things of God. And as we are incorporating this idea that there are some rules and some things that we can learn about teaching from other people, we still want to be mindful of what we're trying to teach. There's a lot of things in the world to teach. Is it off? The red light's on. It was on just then. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Okay. Maybe I did. I might have touched it and fixed it or something. I don't know. But anyway, as we learn these things, we're learning about how to teach and the purpose behind it. And we as students, too, this includes everybody in this room. You are all students, and some of you are teachers. Well, all of you are teachers, adults are anyway, but you're all students as well. And just as students, you need to come to church just the way a student should, and that's a desire to hear from God and a desire to apply what you hear in your life. And that's why we come to church, is to do that. As a teacher, one of the most important things for a teacher is to have knowledge about the subject that they're teaching, although there's always more knowledge to be gained. Nobody's perfect in all knowledge, and you can always teach somebody even with a little knowledge. Everybody hears a testimony. You have a knowledge, a personal knowledge of salvation and what it's done in your life. And that opportunity gives us the opportunity to share with others the very things that God has done in our lives and what he's doing today. He's always doing something in our lives, and if we're looking to him and seeking his face and walking in his ways, we always have something to talk about. What path did you trod today? Where'd you go? Where'd the Lord lead you? Everybody was led by the Lord. They either followed or didn't. And if they didn't, they have a testimony. If they realize they didn't follow, then they can say, you know, I didn't follow the Lord today. I know I was in the wrong path, and I need to be back on the right path. Those testimonies need to be heard just as well. Why is that? Why do we need to hear those testimonies that when we haven't gone down the right path? Somebody else might be in the same situation. And it also, it brings to light that we're not perfect. We make mistakes, but we know there's a way to get back. And that's how important it is, as we teach all the time in our lives. And that's just going by the wayside, you know, and teaching, or not by the wayside, but teaching by the way as we live this life. It's our testimony. It's what happened in our life. And as teachers, you need to have some knowledge, and you need to be able to apply that in your life. We have knowledge of the Word of God, but knowledge itself is not all there is. Knowledge puffeth up. We also want the wisdom and understanding. The understanding helps us to apply it to wisdom, and when we apply wisdom, then we walk the path that God has given to us. We learn those things. So then the law of the learner, basically, most important, I guess, is the learner must come as and have a desire to learn something. I want to hear from God today. You get up in the morning on Sunday and pray, God, give me something this morning that I could use in my life. Is that the way we come to God? Is that the way we come to church? Well, that's what we want to do, because why? We come here to learn about God and what He wants us to do, not just this moment, but for tomorrow and the next day. And it's a key to us understanding is to learn these things. But then also, there's the next law. It's the law of language. And let's see, what page is that? Way back here on page 9. The law of language, it's the idea that not everybody understands everything. You take a 2-year-old, they're not going to understand what a 15-year-old understands, and vice versa. The law of language, Proverbs 25:11 and 12 verses say, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver, as an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon obedient ear. The idea is the language that is used in teaching must be common to the teacher and the learner. So one of the reasons that I encourage you and really want you to be in the Word of God, why? So our language is the same. When I'm preaching, you've already read, you've already studied the Bible, so you already have ideas and what's going on. So we understand each other. The words and ideas need to be understood by both the teacher and student. It can be any medium of communication that both understands. Pictures, signs, alphabet systems, anything that we can understand each other. Let me give you the philosophy of the law of the language. According to Milton, the law of the language reaches down into the deepest facts of mind and runs out to the widest connections of thought with life, with the world in which we live. And so the law of the language, it reaches down the mind. So what are we trying to do as teachers? We're trying to teach something. It can be facts, truths, knowledge. But then the learner, we want them to take that in. And when they learn it or understand it, they can repeat that, not just repeat it in words, but with understanding. Understand what it means. That way they can apply it in their life and they can go forth with it. Language in its simplest form may be signs with no likeness to what they represent other than what we assign them. You can take anything if there's no name to it. Instead of calling this paper, you know, we could call this water. It could have been water. Who knows? And someone said, oh, that's water. You know, the first person who ever came up with language other than the Lord. We can come up with language. In fact, that's what a lot of people do in these tribes. They come up with words when they see something. The sun may not be called the sun to them. It may be something else. That's why we have to translate into different languages. So a word can be assigned with an idea and to those things that we assign them. Let me ask you something. Does anybody know what a bank deposit bag looks like? Caleb, do you know what a bank deposit bag looks like? Don't have any idea, do you? Rob, do you know what one looks like? Rob does. Most everybody does in this room. But if you've never experienced it, then you wouldn't know that. I don't expect any of the young people to know what a bank deposit box or bag looks like. But this is one that we have. It's just a bag that holds the money. And they take it and put the money in it, and they go to the bank and deposit it. Of course, they don't use it that much the way they used to do it. Anybody doesn't know what this is? Does anybody not know what this is? Everybody knows what this is. Addie, you know what this is? Yeah, it's a stapler. So you know what it does? It takes and staples papers together, right? That is, if it has staples in it. Let's see if it does. Oh, it does. Okay, I got a staple in this paper. So let me ask you this. Do you know what this is? This is a pincher. Anybody want to get pinched? Come up here. I'll pinch you with it. This is a staple remover. If you've never seen one of those, and some of us old folks may have seen one and probably don't even remember what they were. Sometimes I wonder, what is that thing again? It's a staple remover. And it's used to actually remove a staple. Did it come out? Yep. Okay. So that's kind of neat. You can see different things like that. There are also things like words that mean the same thing. Let's see if I can bring out my ship. Now pretend this is the ocean, okay, or the sea. Is anybody, you're looking at this ship and you say, I see the ship on the sea. See, what does that mean? When I say I see the ship on the sea, anybody got any ideas? What's that mean? Karis, you know what that means? I wouldn't think you'd know what that means. That word see is the same word. It's just spelled differently. It says I see with my eyes the ship, and it's on the sea, the water. So it's different. So all of those things are important for us to be able to teach, especially the young ones, so they understand those words. There's a lot of words. For instance, there goes a bat. What does that mean? Now, if you're at the baseball field and you see someone trying to bat and slings his bat over the yard or something, you go, there goes a bat, and you mean his baseball bat. But you could be at that same field and you're sitting there watching the ball game and it's getting a little dusk, and all of a sudden he's swinging his bat and you see something flying over and he goes, there goes a bat! And it may not be a baseball bat. It might be one of these creatures. And I experienced that in this church more than once. And I think Greg's actually killed one with a tennis racket. Didn't you do that? Where's your tennis racket at? Do you? Oh, hymnal. Okay. Well, I don't know why I got that story wrong. I heard somewhere it's a tennis racket. But anyway, hymnal. Okay. All right. You're making music. Okay. But just like the idea that you can say, they bear children, or there's bear children. What does that mean? You already know, don't you? Like a woman might bear a child, but then a child might be bare, meaning they don't have their clothes on. Just same thing is that you bear the load. What if you said, there's a bear head? What would you think that is? It's like Elisha, when they came to him and called him bald-headed. He had a bear head, and you know what? The bears came and ate those kids up. The Bible says. Isn't that interesting? It could mean a bare head or you're bare on top. So a lot of words mean this, sound the same, but they don't mean the same thing. And so that's part of this language that we're trying to help. The vehicle of thought. The teacher wants to send the thoughts of his or her mind to that of the students so they can see or understand what the teacher is thinking. Sometimes the words that we speak do not translate to the student the thoughts that we want them to understand. Because of our experiences and the understanding and knowledge that we have, often we think, well, they ought to understand that. I had a friend, now he had a different language than I did. He was from Georgia. And we were on the fantail one day when I was in service. I can't say it the way he said it, but he said water and order. I don't know how that those two words got in the same conversation. But I said, what'd you say? And he said that word again. I said, what are you talking about? And finally, he explained it to me. And so we kind of understood each other, even though I didn't understand him. Well, the same thing happened when I came up here. When I was talking to Arvilla, she told me what her name was. I had no idea what it was until I met her at her doorstep and she had her apron on and said, Arvilla. And just like some of the folks, they told us their names. And some people add R's to their names and some take the R's away. If there's an R in your name, we don't use it. If there's not, we're going to put one in it. So this language thing, when I moved to North Carolina, I sat down and listened to my grandfather talk, and he talked like Randy. And I was sitting there for a long time going, what'd you say? Grandpa, what do you mean? I had no idea until I got my ear tuned to the language that he was speaking. It's the same thing with our young people and each other. We have to learn those different languages so we can understand each other. Milton said it this way, men's words are like ships laden with the riches of every shore of knowledge which their owner has visited, okay? While the words of a child are but toy boats on which are loaded with simple notions he has picked up with his brief experience. And there is a difference. Our vocabulary is a lot bigger, and the things that we know are a lot more than they. So the words that we need to choose, we need to choose those wisely to help produce the clearest thoughts and images for the students. In Ecclesiastes, at the end of the book, Solomon penned these words in chapter 12, verses 9 through 11. He said, and moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads. What is a goad? Anybody know what a goad is? Exactly. So the words are like goads to help them to understand. And this is, as nails fastened by masters of assemblies. What are nails in the Bible? Pegs. They're pegs, just like a nail would be today, but only it's just a peg, fastened by the masters of assembly. So the words are like nails fastened by these masters of assembly, which are given from one shepherd. So the idea is that we want to teach these young people, teach all of us, to understand what the Bible is teaching, understanding the Word of God. Now, we want to use the Word of God, but we want to teach the words that are in the Bible. We don't want to change those words. We want to help them understand what they mean. And there are a lot of words in the Bible that you have to go to somewhere else to help you. And really, that's the Greek language is where we find most of that for us, is go find out what that word means. And so we want to do that, and we want to teach the children to do that. You know, it's very hard, and I can't even imagine. Even as an adult, this sounds awkward to me. When you say something like, all you have to do is ask Jesus in your heart. Now, we've all said that. We've all used that phrase and that terminology. But let's try to look at it from a young person's mind. First off, Jesus, he did come to this earth and he was a man. And that's concrete. That's a fact. That's truth. And when we say to a young, go away. When we say to a young person or something, often we'll think, if you just ask Jesus into your heart. That's like saying, ask Greg into your heart. Greg, I don't think you're going to fit there, man. I can't get you. You're just bigger than I am. Now, we know what that means as adults, right? But as a child, what does that mean? And how do they perceive that? And really, it takes a lot clear teaching on Jesus of who he is and what he did than just ask Jesus into your heart. There's a lot of understanding that needs to go into that. And there are many young people today that asked Jesus into their heart when they were 2, 3, 4, 5, that never got saved because they didn't understand. They just did what the teacher told them, and they asked Jesus into their heart. So to be effective, we need to remember that thoughts pass both directions, from the teacher to the student and vice versa. The teacher needs to understand the student, and this will enable the teacher to evaluate how the student needs to be taught. Some students are visual. They can see things and get it just like that. I'm not that way. Some are audio. You can sit there and listen and pick it right up. I'll plug in my Alexander Scorby and head out for 2 hours and listen to him. And I don't get as much as I need to get. It's much better if I open the scriptures, take my little finger, and go through and read these things word for word in context. For me, I need that hands-on. And so we're all different. Some it's a combination of all three or just two. Some are quick learners and some are not. So we have to work with all of them to help them, to bring them along and to the understanding of what we're trying to teach. The instrument of thought. Words spoken are not enough. The idea that words are expressed that give credence to understanding. The expression should be in a student's language. Again, we're talking about the law of the language. The ideas need to be clear and the words need to make the picture clear. Take sin, for instance. What in the world does that mean? I don't know, but often many adults think of something very terrible like murder, you know, or I'm going to have to go steal something from the bank to commit a sin. But we know that's not true. We know that sin is what? What is sin? That's all it is. Disobeying God, period. That's all it is. And so, you know, we can take you back to the Garden of Eden. We can share what took place there. And we can teach children as well. How do we teach children? Well, Proverbs 1:8 reminds us. It says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For children, it is as simple as obeying their parents in the Lord. That's how easy it is. As parents, we teach our children. I'm talking about young children. When they get older and they're, you know, 10, 11, 12, 9, we can teach them more. Many times as we've taught the children in this church, in Master's Club and other places, we tell them what sin is. And every one of them raises their hand because they say they're a sinner. Well, they know they're a sinner. I just told them that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But do they know, was I able to pass that thought into their mind that they understood and can come back and say, yes, I disobeyed my mother when she told me to wash the dishes, or I did this or this or this. That's when the understanding comes to fruit, is when the child understands or the adult understands, I'm guilty of sin. And they can share that and help us understand it. That's what we're trying to do. Ephesians 6, 1 and 3 teaches the same thing. We master truth by expressing it. We know that we have learned something when we can teach it. If you can teach it and you have studied it out and you know that, that's when you learn the most. That's why as a Sunday school teacher, you're going to learn the most. If you're serious about the things of God, really you ought to be serious about the things of God before you ever consider to be a Sunday school teacher. But if you're serious about things of God, teaching, you will start looking in the Bible and you're going to try to figure out ways to explain this to your students. And all of a sudden, you're going to have to dig a lot more than that little lesson you got. You can't just take the lesson and say, I'm just going to read this and share. That's not the knowledge you need. That's just what you need to be able to express to them. You need to know a lot more about it. Not only know about it, but it ought to be real in your life. You're an example of it. That's what a teacher is, an example of doing those things. And that's how we master this truth. Language is a storehouse of our knowledge. The things that we know can be shared by the words concerning it. Words are not only the signs of our ideas, but are clues by which recover and recognize the ideas. There are always new words, concepts, and ideas to learn. I probably forgot a lot that I can't even remember what word some of them mean. Sometimes I have a hard time spelling a three-letter word. Anybody got any problems like that? Don't have to admit it, but I know I do. Many times it's like, how do you spell that again? I'm so grateful. I just started doing this, that I have Siri with me everywhere I go. Siri, how do you spell? You know what? Siri can come up with at least one good way to spell something. It just works, doesn't it? And it's a help. So ideas are symbols, words master before, and words master before being presented in a sentence. So before you can come up with a sentence, you got to understand the words so you can apply it. Language of objects. Okay, that's what we're here for. Pete, can you come up for a second? You'll pass one of those out to all the adults, and if you got any left over, you can pass them out to the older children. This is an object or a map. And so when we're talking about the Bible, when we're talking about the different places that Paul traveled or the letters that he's written, it's always good to have this present in your mind, and if you don't, to have one of these so you know what's going on, what we're talking about. And the geography is important because it really helps us to understand the magnitude of what Paul has accomplished through the Lord Jesus Christ. As you can see here, this is Paul's second missionary journey. You can see where Macedonia is. I think I was sharing that on Sunday at some point. And you can see, I think it was in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, we were talking about that. And you can see where Corinth is. You see where Corinth is down there at the very bottom? It's right there on like on an island. There's Cenchrea and Sparta down there. Athens is just right across the way. And then Delphi. And then Macedonia is way up here with Thessalonica is and Philippi and Neapolis and Berea and Mount Olympus. So there's a big difference there. So when we're talking about these places that Paul traveled, we can see that these aren't just hop and a skip and a jump to get to. It probably takes weeks sometimes to get to some of these places that he's going to. Did everybody get a map that's an adult? Okay. So you can look at it. So where's Macedonia at on your map? Yeah, there it is. Good. It's okay to answer questions, folks. The test, hopefully they're not real hard or anything. And if you don't pass, that's okay too, because many times I have to look at myself and try to figure it out. But that's what is important, is that we're able to pass on this information. And I know when I was going through the book of Acts years ago, I actually had the slide set up and we'd go through each step where Paul would go on the projector. But we need to see those things. We need the eye, the hand, the foot, the body to all lend to the communications that we're trying to share and the things that we're trying to do. In fact, often our expression and use of bodily parts can be more effective than the very words we say. You know, it's like, what happens? People look up. They're maybe getting back attentive. They're nodding off and they're going to sleep. So just something you do can bring people back into the fold of learning and listening. So there are a lot of things that help when you're doing the teachers. The law of language. Now, rules for teachers in the law of the language. Study constantly and carefully the language of the pupils to learn what words they use and what meaning they give to these words. Encourage the student to give as complete statement of their knowledge of the subject. This way the teacher can learn both their ideas and their modes of expressing them. So if you ask a question or you're sharing with the students and you ask them a question, you want them to be able to share with you with understanding what you're trying to teach. Now they may not get it the first time. In fact, when we get to the very last part of this, the law of the review, there are a lot of things that they will pick up after the law of review that they didn't get the first time around. That's why it's important to go over and over and over things. That's why it's important to continue to read the Bible, because God, which has given us a living book, it'll come alive and we'll see something we never saw. I don't know how many times I've heard people come to me, it's not a ton of times, but sometimes they come to me and say, "Boy, I heard something," and maybe they went to another church. "I heard this, and you know, I didn't even catch it," or whatever. And that's what happens. God uses that. And He will enlighten us through the Word of God. He uses other people. He uses the Word of God to help us. And if we're continually in it, we're going to learn more and grow more. We're going to understand that God is holy, the idea. And as a Christian, we want to be holy. What does that mean? Well, some of us just think, well, good enough is good enough. God wants us to continue to grow. If good enough was good enough, then we wouldn't need any of this. We'd just stay where we're at and just be happy. But God continually wants us to conform us into what? The image of Christ. And that's a continual working. And He's not forcing us to jump through hoops. He's tenderly guiding us and directing us. And that's what He does for us. And He does it all our life. Use language of your students as much as possible. Use the simplest and fewest words that will express your meaning. Use short sentences. Repeat your thoughts and use other methods to explain if the student is confused. Use illustrations, objects, pictures. Try to increase the student's vocabulary. Engage the students. Don't let them listen in silence all the time. See, sometimes I try to get folks in church and Sunday school involved, and I ask questions because I want to engage you guys. You're Bible students. You've been in church for years. And so we want you to help us, all of us, that, yeah, Pastor, that's right. And this is right. And that's right. Or that's wrong. Whatever it is. And it's important that we do that to help each other. Take your time and make sure the students understand the words and ideas before building on them. Test often the students understand by asking questions. So here's some violations of this law, the law of the language. The student may fool the teacher in that his interest indicates he has understanding. So he may fool the teacher by just being interested. You think, well, he's got it, and not necessarily true. Children sometimes get caught up being entertained by the manner of the teacher and missing the message. Whatever the teacher may do, they may be more focused on that than what's being taught. Misuse of the language, using language that the student does not understand. This makes the lesson hard to understand. A single unusual term could break the attention connection. And again, that's why it's so important that we, each one of us, are studying the Word of God, we're learning the Word of God, that when we come to church, we understand what's being taught. And we can also teach our children these things. You know, we are testimony, living examples of Christ. And we want to not just see that, but we also want to share that verbally with each other. We want our children to hear testimonies of how God's working in our lives. What did He do in your life? How did that affect you? How did that change you? He has changed us, right? Everybody would say, amen or oh me. Of course. So it's nice to know that. It's nice for other people to know that. It's nice to see little ones understand that so they know that we serve a what kind of God? A living, mighty, holy God. And when we don't talk about Him in their presence, they're not going to see that. We're just like anybody else. And so we want to make sure that we help them and teach them as well. All right, let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank You again for this time. We thank You for the Word of God. We thank You for men that loved you so much that they teach us in other ways that we might become the teachers of the Word of God, living examples, Father, that we might trust you and walk accordingly. I pray you bless each one here, that you continue to guide and direct in each one of our lives, and help us take upon us the most important aspect that we have in this particular ministry, and that's our children. Father, have your way in our lives. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name.